Rabbi Sayyid, good morning. A good Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Pekudei. Tovshin Peidalit. We're in the fifth day of Adar Sheni. We're holding the podcast today. I'm sorry for the delay, but there's a first of all change of the time in the United States and the daylight savings time. And over here, I had to be Menachem Avil this morning, a very close friend of mine who lost his 98-year-old mother, Mrs. Goldstein. And she was a wonderful, wonderful woman and went to be Menachem Avil and daven with them. So then shopping. So things took a little bit later in the preparation and the recording of this podcast. I hope that you'll excuse me and everyone should be Michael and we'll try to get it out. And everyone should get the most out of the Divrei Chizuk. Rabbi Sai, this week here in Har Nof, there was a tremendous Ness miracle which took place. And I want to expound upon this Ness, personal Ness that took place to someone who's a very, very well-known Rosh Hashiva and Tzaddik. And I think that this particular Ness is something that many people might have heard about it. Many of you might not have heard about it, but it's worthwhile to be mefaretit and to be meshabech the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and to use this also as our chizuk, our divrei chizuk for this week and the Shabbos, and for the yontif which is coming upon us and the days that we are holding. Rebbeinu, we cannot forget about the fact that we see clearly that we should try to internalize the fact that the only one we can truly rely on is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Anyone that thinks that we can rely on any sort of emunah, belief in particular people and particular powers and particular koichos, so we're reminded and reminded again that the only one that we could possibly believe in and that we have trust in and we have emunah is, like on the American dollar bill, in God we trust, only in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Rabbi say, Einod Mulvada, Einod Mulvada. We have to constantly repeat it, and not just repeat it, but to really feel it and to really understand that that's the only way that we will see the Yeshuas. I want to quickly skip to the end of the parasha to avoid, which is well known by many, but I think the way we complete Sefer Shmos is also a chizuk for all of us. We're speaking about this end of Sefer Shmos. The entire repetition of this week's parasha and last week's parasha of the different shiurim and the measurements and the different kalim and the aron and the menorah and the shulchan. And then finally we get to the end of the parasha, Perek Mem, where the Torah tells us, Vayokem es ha-chatzir, Moshe Rabbeinu, he finally puts up the chatzir, Saviv la-mishkan, la-mizbeach. Vayichal Moshe es ha-malacha. The end of the pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu finishes the malacha. Finally, the Mishkan is put up. After everything had said and done, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to put it up. There are many, many particular points, but right now we want to focus on the end of the parasha. It says that an anan surrounded the oil mayid, and there was a tremendous divine presence. The kvod, the honor of the Rebbeinu Shlom filled the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu could not enter into the Mishkan. And we know that when the Anan would leave the Mishkan, that's the time when the Yidden would know that they have to travel. Yisu b'nei Yisrael b'chol ma'aseyim. The last two psukim, it says like this, v'imlo ye'ol Anan, if the Anan would not rise up, lo yisu ad yom elasu, they would not travel until the time when the Anan went up. Why? Ki anan Hashem ala Mishkan, the glory, the cloud of glory was on top of the Mishkan, Yomam, in the daytime, the Esh Tia Lailabai. And the fire will be also there at night. That was the Amud Esh. Amud Onon was in the day, the Amud Esh was Laila. And then the Pasuk says, Le'ene kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseyim, in the eyes of kol Yisrael, in all of their travels. And Rashi points out, in all of their travels, the Onon would stand B'makom chaniyoson, and that was also called the Masa. V'shemakom hachaniya chazu v'nasu l'chaynikru kula masois. But Kitzer, the Torah tells us that there was an Amud Esh Balayla, there was an Amun Anon, in every single one of the travels. And the Svarim HaKadoshim, they bring down, this is a lesson for us in our Golus. No matter what the trials and tribulations, no matter what the travels are, because Klal Yisrael is always in this trek of being in Golus. We go from place to place, and we think that we're going to be successful over here. Then all of a sudden, the Rebbeinu Shem pushes us out. Oh, we think we finally reached El Anachal El Anucha. We see that there's wars. We see there's other things that are happening. We always have to remind ourselves not to be despondent, not to be miyuish, not to lose faith. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forsake us. This is the end of Sefer Shmos. This is the real message of the Gula. The real message of the Gula is that even when we're in the Galus, there's always Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always with us. And no matter how difficult the times are, either when the times are so-called good, when it's Yomam, when it's daytime and things seem to be have clarity, we seem to be all right. Let's talk about our matzav in Eretz Yisrael for so many years. People thought, oh, look, the country is growing. The economy is growing. The hotels, everyone came for vacations and for trips. Go for Pesach. Ah, the Amud Anan of the Rabbeinu Shalom is the only thing that's protecting us. Don't think for a second it's Koichi Vaitzim Yodi, that it has to do with the physical. Now for sure we have to have Ishtadlus. But if we lose the sight of the fact that it's the Amud Anan of the Rabbeinu Shalom, which covers us in the so-called good times, then we lose out on our Amunah. And then the Torah tells us, even when it's Laila, even when it's going to be difficult, Laila, when it's Choshech, when things are not clear, when the things are difficult, when there's Radifas, there's pogroms, like October 7th, we should always remember that there's a fire of the Rebbeinu Shalom which covers us, and that will remove all of the Nechashim, all of the Tzif'ainim, all of those that want to try to destroy us. We have a Haftacha, Ki imanu kel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us. And I think if we look at this as being the underlying message of the end of Sefer Shmos, we will say together, we'll say chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek, we'll be mischazek during these difficult times. So that's the first lesson. The first lesson we want to teach us in this parasha. But now I want to show you how it's literally evident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Here in Har Nof, this week, this past Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Adar, we ourselves had our own personal simcha. We had a great-grandson, and we had a bris on Sunday morning. The great-grandson of my son, Dov Ber, our great-grandson, and I was able to give the name Noyam Tzvi. And right before the bris, a younger man came over to me, and he says, Rebbe, did you hear the news that our Rosh Hashiva, Reb Tzvi Kushalevsky Shlita, 87 years old, his wife gave birth to a baby boy, his first child. It was his second shidduch. His first wife, he was married for over 50 years. They didn't rat zocha to have any children. And a man, 87, almost 88 years old, tremendous Talmud Chacham, was giving shiurim for years and years. He was zocha with his second wife, who he married 5 or 6 years ago. I was at the wedding. It was in the yeshiva here in Har Nof, in Heichal HaTorah. And miraculously, his wife gave birth to a healthy baby boy. And Mitz Hashem, tonight is going to be the Shalom Zohar. And I hope to go together with many people who are going to go to the Shalom Zohar. And Sunday morning is going to be a bris b'shatayv u'mitzlachas. Rabbi say it's a miracle of historical, biblical proportions. And I have to tell you that what is the lesson for us? Is it just a lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us that Ein Oid Mavada, there's no one else that's in charge. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the only one that's in charge. And Rav Tzvi said, if you think about it, Rav Tzvi said that he never ever had Yush. He never was despondent. He never lost hope. He was always davening that it should be Zoyche to have a child. Rabbi Sai, most people, they don't have children. They're miyayish. It's just a natural tenet that people have. It's very, very difficult to have. But if a person has emunah and bitachon to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he's constantly beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this lesson is a lesson that we have to internalize within ourselves. They say that the doctors, when he married his wife, who was a person who had children, she had two other children, and it seems that she was a healthy woman. She is a healthy woman. She writes Hashem. She should continue to be healthy. And Rav Tzvi says he hopes to have more children. The doctors, they laughed at him. They said, it's not possible at your age that you're going to have a child and the health of your wife. But they helped him. And they said, I heard an interview with the doctor. The doctor himself said that they saw that she's able to have healthy children. And they had a natural childbirth. Rabbi said, the first thing is emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Tzvi, he was interviewed, and he said that if he always had emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to have, then there's nothing that can stop the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kol Yochol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. And therefore, he never was Miyayish. He said he always had emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi said, this child is a child that was born, first of all, from emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a lesson for us to learn, that we should all learn from this episode, this miraculous event that took place. I'm going to say something in a second, but how miraculous this is. To continue to have emuna and only emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not to have emuna in any false thing. For sure we have to do ishtadlus, to recognize it's only ishtadlus. This is also a child that was born from tefillah, from heartfelt tefillah. They said, yes, he cried many, many times, but he didn't cry out of yush. He cried that he wanted desperately, Rabbanu Shlalom, I know that you can give me a child. So it's a lesson for us to learn that the koyach of tefillah, never to be despondent, always to take with us the power of tefillah. I think the third lesson is, this is a child that was born from Torah, because Reb Tzvi is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's given shiurim for many, many years. I myself know him. I've even sent Talmidim to his yeshiva. He's one of the great, great Lamdonim of our generation. And his koyach of Torah, Rabbi said, that also is reflected in the birth of this child and chesed. For so many years, Rav Tzvi and his wife, Alaa Shalom, who was the daughter of Rav Leib Gorowitz, she herself was a great woman, and his present, Lebaruch Chaim Tov Meruchim, his present wife, involved with chesed. He would always go to simchas of his Talmidim. He was sandik at many, many of their simchas. He would go to the chassids, he would dance, and he always said he danced with the full heart. He never had any feelings of someone else got something that I didn't get. No, he would be misameach, and he would be makpa to go. There's a kever here in Yerushalayim called the kever of Sarah, the washwoman. Sarah, the washwoman, was a Sephardic woman who was the person that helped to clean the house of the Zvila Rebbe, and supposedly she never had children. And there's different girsos that she once asked the Rebbe for a bracha, and she was crying, and the Rebbe didn't want to give her a bracha. And finally she cried, and the Rebbe said, you know, if I don't want to give you a bracha. He says, why not? Because I see that if you have a child, your child will not have a full life, and chas v'sholom, he's going to die from a cancer. And she said, b'cholzos, and she gave birth to a child. And then eventually, like the Rebbe said, the boy died after not even reaching bar mitzvah. But she herself went, and she would go and have a munah, and she'd do a lot of chesed for people. And the Rebbe used to send people to her for brachas. And they say that Reb Tzvi, a lot of people go there, Reb Tzvi would go with families, and he would go there and he would daven with them. But not only did he daven with them during the years when he did not have children, but even this year when his wife was expecting, and they already knew that Baruch Hashem, she was going to have a baby, he went with his Talmidim to the kever, and he davened for his Talmidim. Rabbi said to daven for others. Rabbi, so I have to say, I told someone when I first heard about it that Rav Tzvi, Rabbi Nishom, showed us a nes which is greater than Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu gave birth the first time when he was 86 years old. Someone said, no, he was only when he was 100 years old. It's not true. He first gave birth to Yishmael when he was 86. Rav Tzvi, Rabbi Nishom, made a nes for him. He gave birth when he was 87. You don't have to be Guinness World Book of Records. Rabbi Isai, it's an amazing, amazing thing. But I saw 86 Avram Avinu is Begematria Elokim. And I saw that 87 is Begematria Ani Hashem. Elokim, 86, showed us that when a Yid is 87, Ani Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the one that's Kaveya. Rav Tzvi said that this week's parasha, we find that the Mishkan was hukam ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu. How did Moshe Rabbeinu, how was he bring it up? So the Medrash says that he did it seven times. Why was he, and then the seventh time, it stood up. So why couldn't he do it just one time? Why did he do it seven times? So the Medrash says that the seven times that he put up the Mishkan correspond to the seven Mishkans, which are in Klal Yisrael. The first is the Mishkan that was created, the Midbar. Then there was the Mishkan in Gilgal. Then there was the Mishkan in Noiv. Then there was the Mishkan in Givin. Then there was the Mishkan in the Bayis Rishon. Then there's the Mishkan in the Bayis Sheni. Every single time Moshe Rabbeinu was building a Mishkan, he recognized that could be this Mishkan is not going to last, but there will be Mishkanis, and they'll continue. The Mishkan, Rav Tzvi said, is a place of Kirvas Elokim. And this is the tikkun for the Chet Eagle, that we should get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we can also build a Mishkan. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. In our hearts, we build, a person makes himself into a Mishkan. And this is, I think, a lesson that we should take to our hearts when we see a miracle took place in our modern day. A Yid, a Talmud Chacham, a Gadol B'Torah, who himself davened without being miayish. We can all learn from that. Not to be miayish, to daven, to recognize everything is in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. At the end of the parasha, we find that the Torah tells us, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. It's mentioned many, many times. 14 times it mentions Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. And I saw in various forms, why does it say continuously Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe? So the Reb Eli Baruch brings down that the Reb Gusman Zatzal used to say over that he heard from Reb Chaim Oizer that every single time a person learns and he's mechadish in Torah, he always has to ask himself the question. The question is what I'm doing, is this really the Ratzon of Hashem? The Torah that I'm saying, is it really the Emes? Is this really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? Whenever a person does a mitzvah, ma'asim tovim, is this really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? Before we go any further, this is really a message that Reb Tzvi himself also said. He always said to himself, I want to do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Rebbeinu Shem was mezakim. He said, if the Rebbeinu Shem wants me to have a child, I will have a child. My tachlis is to make a Kiddush Hashem in the world. And I feel that I can have a greater Kiddush Hashem if I'm going to have a child. And the Rebbeinu Shem was mezakim. This is what the Reb Chaim Oizer said. Many, many times the Rambam brings down in the Pirush Mishnayos, when the pasuk it says, like Omar Kro, he uses the terms Omar Hashem Yisbarach, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We always have to ask ourselves if what I'm doing is really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's why the Torah constantly repeats, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to Moshe. It's not just that it was built, it was created, but everything that was done with the intent, I want to create Kavod Shemayim. Rabbi, so we're living in a world where the honor of heaven is somehow distant, it's removed from us. But we have to try our utmost to recognize that our purpose, our tachlis in the world, is to be the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring out Shechina into the world. And I think that this is really an amazing thing, that this parsha, at this time, the Bris Mirtz Hashem will be on Zion Adar, the Yahrzeit and the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this child will have that Bris Mirtz Hashem v'shatoyv v'mitzlachas. And I think it's a message for us. This child is really a message for all of us to recognize that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, he is the one that's in charge. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the one who's with us b'chol maseyim, not to have yish, to have the koyach of tefillah, to have the koyach of wanting to make a kiddush Hashem, to be yidn er kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Last but not least, we want to say over just a very famous vort, neged to the yontif of Purim. We know there's two yom tovim which are midrabbanon, and there are connections between them, and those are the simcha of Purim and the simcha of Chanukah. And there are two implements that we find on Purim and we find on Chanukah. On Chanukah, we use a dreidel. We play with a dreidel. On Purim, we use a gragger or a rashan. And they bring down from the Hasidic Svarim that on Hanukkah you use a dreidel, which is you spin it from the top. And the on Purim we take the gragger and we do it from the bottom. Hanukkah was a nest that took place that really there were only a few people that were willing to fight for the sake of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The rest of them were all misyavnim. Everyone had assimilated. It was Matisyahu Bonov that they kept the coal of Klal Yisrael and they fought against the tremendous tide. But everything really came about Rachmei Shamayim Milamala. It was all from the heavens. And therefore, we spin. That's why the Lashon is V'lachasum lachasuk asherichim aleihem alakei aviseim v'shim v'yodim v'tzilim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He saved us. That's why we do it from the top. We want to show us it tratusa de Ela, it came from the top. But Purim, Rabbi Zayin, the nest came, we had to do tshuva. Leich k'noises kol Yehudim. We ourselves had assimilated. Every single Jew had to do tshuva. Kimu v'kiblu, we makabal the Torah. Milamata, it tratusa de latata. In these days, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us, and we are assured that if we will do errors, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do siyata d'shmaya. We find that in the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to do it on his own, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you do yours, and I will do mine. If you will try your utmost, you'll do your shtadlus, then the Rabbeinu Shem will complete the task. B'chol ma'aseyim, the Rabbeinu Shem was with us, chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos, and we should be zeicher mitz Hashem to the Gula Shleima, to the Meir of Yameinu, Amen. Wishing everyone kol tuv sela. Thank you very much for listening. We want to thank jfoundations.com. If you could sponsor any of our activities, it would be another way of addressing and being able to give over Torah to other people. Go on the website and show your support. Thank you very much for joining us.